From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources on Monday issued a permit to the proposed mine site, the Palmer Project. The permit allows the company to go ahead with seismic exploration work. KHNS's Alonda Premenil has more.
The Palmer Project is a copper, zinc, gold, and silver exploration project upstream from Haynes and Klukwan. Constantine Metals, who owns the Palmer Project, has received permission from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to proceed with seismic exploration at two sites above the Klehini River. The new activities will include building miles of trails 25 feet wide, some shallow drilling, operation of heavy equipment and helicopters, and detonation of close to 1,000 dynamite sticks. The permitting process came under public scrutiny earlier this summer. Environmental groups claimed the process was rushed, and many residents submitted public comments to DNR. DNR issued a public notice announcing the new permit. The document states DNR received almost 200 letters from individuals, and around 13,000 people submitted comments opposing the permit through the Audubon Alaska website. The State Department offered its response to the comments. The response systematically addresses 30 concerns that were brought up by residents. The issues addressed range from the technical to the bureaucratic, the political to the recreational. Several commenters, including the Chilkat Indian Village, indicated that a formal tribal consultation should occur. They stated that to date, DNR has declined to engage in tribal consultation and it has failed to arrange any public meetings. The tribe asked for, quote, at least one tribal consultation on a government-to-government basis that is respectful of the tribe's sovereignty and expertise, unquote. The agency said there is, quote, no existing legal obligation warranting government-to-government consultations for the issued authorization, unquote. It went on to say that the state has no legal obligation to provide a sovereign government with greater consideration than the rest of the public, and that the 30-day comment period provided sufficient opportunity for the tribe to voice its concerns. The exploration work could set the stage for a tailing storage area, a place to hold toxic mine waste. Some commenters asked that DNR consider the big picture and deny the permit on that basis. The agency's response followed a different logic. It stated that the permit is part of an incremental process that will allow for better decision-making as more data is collected during the exploration. Some public comments mentioned a climate of impunity that allows developers to initiate work before obtaining the proper permits. In early June, Constantine did just that and cleared some seismic trails at one of the sites. Lorraine Henry, a spokesperson for DNR, said in an email that corrective action had been taken. She wrote, quote, to ensure compliance with the terms of the permit, the division is requiring Constantine to provide an additional $5,000 bond, unquote. According to a press release from American Pacific, which owns Constantine, this season's budget for the operations at the Palmer Project is over $25 million. In its response, the agency invoked the De minimis non curat lex principle. This is Latin for the law is not concerned with insignificant matters. Methodically, the agency responded to the 30 points raised during the public comments and justified why it issued the permit. Environmental advocates who read through the document were not convinced.
Technically, I suppose they addressed the comments in that they wrote out written responses.
Shannon Donahue works for River Without Borders.
And once you get into, you know, the nitty-gritty of these permitting processes, the process is so lenient that Constantine and American Pacific went ahead and started work before the comment period was even over. That doesn't give me much confidence in the regulations and that they will comply with the permit now that it is awarded.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service also submitted a comment praising the rich life of the valley. It said the Chilkat watershed provides some of the best salmon habitat in Southeast Alaska. It said that given the, quote, area's rich biodiversity and relative lack of legislative and administrative protection, unquote, the service encourages DNR to implement strict conservation measures. In its response, DNR defended its protocols and said the accusation is, quote, unfounded and promotes an unwarranted narrative, unquote. Constantine did not answer inquiries about the permitted activities, but in a press release, American Pacific announced good progress with its drilling program and stated that a priority of its environmental team is to, quote, ensure Palmer's environmental studies and monitoring provide community confidence in the project above and beyond regulatory compliance, unquote. DNR's decision can be appealed for up to 20 days after its issuance. No entity contacted for this story has committed to doing so. For KHNS, I'm Alan DePermanil.
The Aleutian Islands are having a cultural revival. Unangan culture camps and language revitalization programs have brought many young people in touch with parts of their culture, a culture that some feared was slipping away. This summer, three different communities worked to revitalize a kind of boat the Aleutians haven't seen since the 1800s. KUCB's Theo Greenlee reports.
Okay, people getting in the boat, can you come to the front?
It's Thursday afternoon in Sandpoint, and the harbor is packed. Dozens of people crowd the small dock. Others sit along a wall overlooking the water.
You'll get in right next to Michael when
they're watching a group of a dozen people board a long, wooden-framed boat. It's open like a canoe, but this is a nigala, a traditional Unangan boat made from a wooden frame and wrapped in animal skins. The community built this nigala in the spring, but they've been waiting on this launch for much longer than that. It's been 200 years in the making.
During the Russian fur trade, the Russians took notice of our ancestors' ability to move mass amounts, to move villages, to move their cargo, and ultimately escape the Russians during the Russian fur trade.
Amy Mack was one of the many people who helped build the nigala. She explains to the crowd that their ancestors used the boat like a cargo ship, able to move entire villages and warriors with one boat. And that worried the colonizers.
To ensure that our ancestors were completely at the disposal of the Russians, sadly, all the nigalas were destroyed.
But this summer, the nigala has returned. Three communities have built them this year after studying historical documents, sketches, and artifacts to learn how they were made. Sally Swetsoff from Atka blesses the boat with holy water. Ethan Pettigrew takes the stern and instructs the dozen paddlers.
Okay. You ready? Well, I'm going to count to three in Unangak, and you're going to then give a slight push. Those of you on the right side,
grab the front.
Push. All right. I need right side to reverse paddle. Left side, I want you to put your paddles out in feather position. Just hold.
They paddle out into the bay and make their way to a small island about a mile out. Pettigrew gives instructions. Sometimes they sing, sometimes they drum. And the boat approaches Range Island. They turn wide and circle the rocky mound. Today, there are only three nigala in existence. This one in Sandpoint, one in Atka, and one in a town in Northern California, where many Unangan people were relocated during the Russian days. As the crew makes their way back to the dock, they're greeted by dancers. Pettigrew remains in the stern, and he is feeling it.
Oh my God, this is such a moving experience, you're going to make me cry. People haven't done this since 1800s, and this is such a spiritual, moving moment that I feel so connected to my great-grandparents. I said walking with them, but I actually think I feel like I'm paddling with my great-grandparents, traveling from Nikolsky, Umnak over to Alaska or something. This was truly amazing.
Many people suggested names for the nigala, but ultimately, Amy Mack says the choice was obvious.
Unangam Angi, which translates to Unangan spirit. We thought it was fitting. We chose that name because we are Unangan people, and Unangan spirit, we want that spirit of our ancestors and all that to come back.
After today's paddle, the nigala will be hoisted onto the dock and stored at the tribal office. And communities in the Aleutians won't have to wait another 200 years for the next one. Already, a fourth nigala is being built and will be water ready soon. This one in Unalaska. Reporting from Sand Point, I'm Theo Greenlee.
This is KTOO.